Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But in my experience, faith is more than what we can't see. It's actually something that we can see. It's reflected in our experiences. When we are buoyed by something other than ourselves, something stronger, perhaps, even than our own selves. We see it in the faces of people we love, and sometimes in the faces of people that we don't even know, who offer us just what we need, exactly when we need it. Faith is about giving ourselves to something bigger than just me alone. Not just because of an unseen entity, but because of something that we do see in our lives, our relationships, our experiences. So today we have some of our essential faith community to share with us words of wisdom on faith, giving, and living in community together. So I will be sharing the pulpit this morning across the county and even across states, from Utah to Costa Mesa to Fountain Valley, as we hear from the wisdom of our FCC family. So here is Jeff Johnston, followed by our stewardship officer, Carrie Lester, and finally our moderator, Mike Karakis, to lead us to deeper reflection so that we can see that essential faith alive among us. Jeff.
Good morning, FCC, fellow community compadres. My name's Jeff. I've been here since 1996. I'm still here because I still love our community. When I think about what is essential faith, I first step back and I ask myself, what in fact is essential? These days, that seems to be up for grabs. From toilet paper and haircuts to eggs and chickens, we live at a time where essentials really new defined. So I'm going to go with a funny little story about my son who may in fact have taught me what is essential. So just to get your mind wrapped around who this young boy is, here's some pictures of him. And as you can see, he's a little mischievous, sometimes a little goofy. And at some point, he apparently turned 8. And he and I, at about the age of 4, were off to the grocery store. And a basic rule when you go to a grocery store with a little one, don't go to the toy aisle and don't lose the child. So we're cruising along. Everything seems to be going well while I'm buying some essentials. And all of a sudden I look down, no shanalinga ding dong. So I'm obviously heart pounding out, totally freaking out, running around the store. I'm in big trouble. And all of a sudden I'm like, toy aisle. So I go down to the toy aisle and sure enough, I see him just mesmerized as he's looking at something and he goes, "Dad, look what I found." And it's a Spider-Man toy. And I say, "Shane, you've already got 5 of these." "Yeah, Dad, but you don't understand. This one's really cool because he can shoot webs and he bends backwards and all this stuff. And you just got to have him." And I say, "Shane," and then it hits me. This is the perfect time to teach my 4-year-old about an idea from my UCI ethics class. So I say, "Shane, have you heard of John Rawls?" "I didn't think so." "But anyways, he wrote this great book called The Theory of Justice. And the punchline is that we live on a planet with limited resources and we have to divide things up according to need, what people essentially need." And I'm trying, and he's just blank staring at me. So I said, let me make this a little more concrete. So I said, like, "Look, today I bought... we're going to buy this bread, and this is going to help us live. So we need this." And milk. I've got some milk. Again, if we don't have these items, we could die. And that's a pretty rough lesson for a four-year-old, but no time like the present. And he goes, but Dad, I really want the Spider-Man. I go, exactly. You want the Spider-Man. And I'm glad that you have wants. To be passionate in life, very important. But there's an important difference between what we have to have and what we need versus what we want, you know, optional things. And keep wanting things, but know the difference because we can't always get what we want. And so am I coming through, Shane, and I'm looking him in the face and he hasn't said anything? Bread, milk, toy. I said, Shane, anything? And he says, Dad, I need what I want. And I was dumbfounded. And as I stood there blank, he just threw the Spidey in the cart, rolled off, and the parent just followed and went and bought a sixth Spider-Man. So what is essential? Needs versus want. So is faith an essential item? Some things are essential by nature, such as oxygen and water. Other essentials we choose, things like love. I think each person really first decides if faith is essential. It's a big decision. We have free will to make that decision. I have decided to be fully human. One needs faith. To be in relation with God, to develop my spiritual self, I need God. So here's the great news. The really great news is this resource is unlimited. Unlike John Rawls' theories dealing with limitations, faith is both needed and unlimited. It's like the sun. Everybody can experience it. And so how does this all relate back to Pledge Sunday and giving money to our church? Well, the old slogan, put your money where your mouth is. And I thank Sarah and our guests like Mike and Adam and Asunta and Colorado Matt and Costa Mesa Libby, who these last few weeks have been giving us the essential words that are take action in what matters to you. And it makes sense to me that what matters to me, I should invest in. I should take action. So put your, I think to myself, put my money where my soul lives. And we haven't talked about the peace candle in a while, but I always think one of the definitions of peace is that your actions line up with your priorities. Act according to what matters to you, and you will be at peace. So for me, investing in the church, our church, helps me ensure that I will stay focused on my faith. It ensures that I will stay connected to people that care about things I care about. And this will reinforce me. It affords me resources like a place to meet, a thoughtful pastor, a creative musical team, a lively membership. These are all creating energy that moves me forward in my faith rather than stagnant or wavering. You know, the Rolling Stones sang that song that you can't always get what you want, but if you try, you can get what you need. Well, for some things where life is limited, I think this is really true. But when it comes to faith, I actually turn to that rock and roll star named Shane Elena Ding Dong Johnston because I think he knew what he was talking about. When our needs become our wants, it may result in not just living, but living with joy in our mood, in our actions. Joy exudes within us and out of us. You know, Jesus told us to listen to our children. From their mouths to our hearts, we are enlightened. May all of us be so blessed to live our essential faith, our essential self, and live it joyfully. Faith can be what we need and what we want. After all, I need God and I want God in my life. Amen and hallelujah.
Good morning, Fairview family and friends. Carrie Lester here. We've been talking about how our faith is essential, how it is essential to have faith and be a part of this church. And we hope that you're committed to the survival of our church in these crazy times. And in order to show how I think it's essential, our faith, I'm going to do a little demonstration. And what I have in front of me are some symbols. This glass jar is a symbol for my life, my time, things that I'm going to focus on. And then I have some other things here. I have some rocks that I've labeled with the things that are the most important to me. I have my faith, God, church, my marriage, my family, including my daughter and my parents and all my siblings. I've got friends in here. That's you. You're important to me. So these are all the important things, the big things in life. Next, I have these marbles, and these represent things that are not as important, but they're still really good. Things like Taco Tuesday on Cinco de Mayo. I hope you enjoyed yours. This would be probably most of the holidays, maybe a trip to the beach and putting your toes in the surf. Things that are still really good. They matter. Over here are the things that don't matter so much, but they tend to fill up a lot of our time if we let them. For me, this could be how much time I waste on social media or playing games on my phone, checking things off at the bottom of the to-do list, wasting time with things that really aren't that important. So that's the sand here. And so in my life, I have the same amount of time as everyone else. And if I fill that time and fill my life first with the things that are not that important, I'm using this funnel so I don't make a huge mess, I let these things fill up my time first. If I focus on these things that don't matter as much, and then I take some time for the things that do matter, that I think are important, that matter but aren't my first priorities, then that leaves not as much space left for things like I might have time to focus on my marriage and my church and my family, but then I run out and I don't have time for, friendship. I don't have time to focus on my health and serving others or teaching, which is something that I love and brings me a lot of fulfillment in my life. So that's what can happen if we focus too much on the sandy, gritty, unimportant things in our life. Here's a better way. Let's focus on the big things. I'm putting my marriage in first. And then I'm putting faith, God, church, my Fairview family. Here's the rest of my family, my daughter, my siblings, my parents, God love them. Here's my health, serving others, very important to me. My friends, these are not going in any order, by the way. Friendships, take some time. Teaching, my job that I absolutely love. Then I can put in the things that also matter. They're not my top priorities. Look how much more room I have for those good things. Those are the holidays. Those are the enjoyable moments of life. Then here comes the extras. And if I don't get all of this in, I'm going to be okay with that. But I can probably get in quite a bit of it. If I shake that down a little bit. Do you see how much more I can get out of life if I'm focusing first on the big things, God, faith, my church, my family, my marriage? If I put all those big things in first, and then the things that matter, the other things that matter, and then the extras. I have time for everything. I can do it all, but I got to have those priorities. And for me, this church, my family, they got to go in first.
Well, hi. Thank you, Jeff, Carrie, and Pastor Sarah, for those excellent words and some real thoughtful perspectives. You know, today is our 9th consecutive internet-only Sunday service. Can you believe that? 9 in a row? Does it feel like it? I really miss seeing everybody in person, but I am reminded that even when apart, our church community is still so strong. We're still coming together here in this place, virtually. Pastor Sarah has been doing pastoral porch visits. The crafter ones among us are making masks. We've delivered food and made phone calls. We're still here for each other. And I see that our community is strong, stronger than this pandemic, and that the ties that bind us together don't break just because we aren't in the same building each Sunday or can't meet up over coffee. And I tell you what, we need that strength right now. It is essential strength. This is a hard, hard time. Everybody has a different COVID-19 reality right now. We need that essential strength for ourselves, and we need to be that essential strength for others too. I don't think it's a coincidence that essential strength goes hand in hand with essential faith. All over the Bible, you see examples of people finding their strength by keeping their faith in God, whether you're David fighting Goliath or just trying to stand up against temptation. Our church, our wonderful church, has been the cornerstone of this essential faith for decades. Decades of people with brave spirits and open minds come here to fill our souls, and naturally, we've made this amazing community. As much as we all need this strength now, more than ever, the church needs your strength too. It's that time of year again. We're wrapping up our stewardship campaign, and the board will be putting together a budget for this next year. And for the first time since I've been coming to Fairview, we are putting down a zero for parking lot fundraiser income. And who can say yet what our Beacon of Light celebration is going to look like this year? You know, those two things bring in about 15% of our income, and we run a really tight budget around here. Although we've had some new donors recently, thank you. Without a physical plate to pass around on Sundays, our giving has been down too, overall. But don't despair. There's some good news. We have worked our tails off, and through what can only be described as an act of God, we did qualify the church for Government CARES Act assistance, and we are receiving some money from it, which is great news. It doesn't make up for everything, but it helps. The board has been devising some fun online fundraisers for later in the year, too. Also, it's no parking lot, but it can't hurt. And if you can, you can help, too. Many of you here already give or have recurring donations. Now is the time, if you can, to lend your strength. If you can continue pledging, if you can increase your pledge, this is the time to do it. Not getting that coffee and bagel in the mornings anymore? An extra $20 a month laying around, maybe? Every dollar counts to help keep this church churching. And it's not too late to update your pledge. I'm personally upping my pledge this year by 20%. I know my church needs me, and it's always been there for me. Now is the time, my friends. It's not too late, really. Please, just pop open your email right now. Send a message to office@ocfairviewchurch.org with an updated pledge if you are so moved to do so. Tell them Mike sent you. Now, if you're one of the people, many people, who are in financial hardship right now and you can't, don't feel guilty. We are a church. We are your church. We're not a country club. There's no entry fee to be here with us. But you can still give without money. As a fellow Fairview fellow, I ask that you give your strength to our community. And call somebody. Just say hi. Try to be a good virtual neighbor. I don't know about you. I really miss seeing everyone. I miss Marge's coffee, cookies on the fellowship table, and whoever it is who's always bringing fruit. I really appreciate that fruit. I miss that fruit. You know, my heart exploded in the best way this week. I got a phone call from Fran Sorensen saying that she is listening in every Sunday and she thinks about me during Carry the Light. It was the sweetest message. I miss you too, Fran. I can't wait to see you again in person. This community, we support together, and with it, an essential strength. And it's this essential strength that's going to get us through this. Embrace your faith. Feel that strength, my friends. Thank you for being there, for our church, and for each other. Amen. Amen, Miley?
Amen.
Amen.